Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 18, and basically up through the first part of verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 18. Now let's read what the Bible has to say. The Bible says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." Now, the last part of verse 18 says, "But be filled with the Spirit." And tomorrow, as we continue on in the study of the book of Ephesians, we'll actually deal with being filled with the Spirit and some of the things that that involves. But today, we want to notice that there are some definite instructions to Christians in these verses, and actually we're going to look at them all from the standpoint of one common thing. He says here, "See then that you walk circumspectly." Circumspectly, like circumference of a circle, that kind of thing. Circumference, circumspectly, that has the same prefix. What it means is that you walk around a thing, inspecting it from all sides. And when somebody, for instance, is building something, what they'll do is they'll look at it from every angle to make sure that it's going upright. And so when you walk circumspectly, you're checking out things from every angle to be sure that everything's okay. In other words, you're not a fool, you're wise. And then he says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." That is, you got to put your time to good use. As they said, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. So you keep your mind active. You actually redeem the time. But once you get saved, you start doing a whole lot more things. You're making up, as they say, for lost time. And then, "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is," which is very important. We all need to know what the will of the Lord is for our lives, so that we can be doing those things that are pleasing to God. And then he says in verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." You know something? We're going to look at this verse today, these verses today, all from the standpoint of the first part of verse 18. That is, don't drink. Don't drink. Now, two things we want to kind of keep in mind here. First of all, there are people who are saved, that are Christians, who have a little nip from time to time. They have a glass of wine with a meal sometimes. They may have a beer on the weekend sometimes. Might even go so far as to have a cocktail from time to time. And they feel perfectly at ease doing that because, after all, they're saved. And the Bible says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And so they feel perfectly comfortable doing that. And then you have another perspective on this, and that is, you've got teenagers. And in those teenagers, you've got a situation where they're exposed to alcohol, and they are convinced by their peers that they ought to try it. All right, from the standpoint of somebody who is already saved and they drink a little from time to time, we're going to look at these verses and show you why the Bible says you oughtn't to do that at all. And from the standpoint of somebody that's young, who is trying to still define their convictions by which they will live, we'll show them from the Bible, don't get started. Don't get started. You see, because the contrast here is between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit in verse 18. And tomorrow we'll deal with the filling of the Spirit. But it tells you plainly, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And so the fellow says, "Well, I know when to quit. I know how much I can handle. I drink a little, but I don't drink much. I never get drunk." You hear people talk like that. But let me show you something. Right there he says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." The excess is not in the quantity that you drink, but in the wine itself. "Be not drunk with wine, wherein..." Not in the drunkenness, but in the wine wherein is excess. So the excess is in the wine, not in how much you consume. The point is, booze is not for Christians at all, in any form or fashion. Not in wine, not in beer, not in cocktails, not hard liquor straight, not any other way. Now, I'll tell you something. I've got experience in this, both from the Bible, and we'll look at some verses today, but also from personal experience. I've been one of those where he says, be not drunk with wine. I've been one of those drunks. And I can tell you that Paul is right. The thing to do for a person who's had a habit of drinking in the past and then he gets saved is to leave it altogether. Quit. Quit. Say, well, you can't show me one place in the Bible where the Bible says I'm not supposed to drink. Well, you sound just like the people that we used to encounter when we were out on the streets of Mobile at night on Saturday nights, street preaching. We'd preach out in front of the bars, and sometimes we'd preach in Pensacola out in front of the bars, and the drunks would come out, and they'd, it's an amazing thing. They couldn't tell you any verses in the Bible, but they could tell you a couple of them that had to do with drinking, and they would say, you can't show me in Bible where it says a man is not supposed to drink. You just look at that guy and I think to myself, you know, the guy's just a fool. And he says, you're not, you can't show him anywhere where it says you're not supposed to drink. Well, the truth of the matter is you can show somebody where you're not supposed to drink. So let's compare some verses. Keep your finger there in Ephesians chapter 5, because we're going to refer back to this from time to time. And let's go over, first of all, to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Now, Solomon knew what it was to get drunk. He tried it. But he also knew what it was to have the wisdom of God, because God gave it to him. So he wrote Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, and this is what he said. Wine is a mocker. It didn't say how much. He didn't say a whole lot of wine is a mocker. A bottle of wine is a mocker. Three glasses of wine is a mocker. Didn't say that. He just said the whole substance. Wine, period, is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. You know, Jack Daniels, Cutty Sark, Crown Royal, all that. You know, the billboards out there on the interstate and out there on SPID and wherever you live and wherever you drive and the magazines you read and Sports Illustrated and all that stuff, that business at Seagram 7 and the Jim Beam and the Jack Daniels and the all that stuff that's in there in those magazines. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Strong drink is raging, he said. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Well, wait a minute. I read over here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, he said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but what? As wise. He says in verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise. Well, wait a minute. How can you fulfill verse 15 and verse 17 and go contrary to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 at the same time? Because Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. In other words, if you think you can drink one now and then and so forth and so on, you've been already deceived by it. And there's a lack of wisdom in it. I guarantee you wouldn't bend that elbow and put that drink up to your lips if the Lord Jesus Christ showed back up right away. You'd try to find a way to hide it from him. Well, listen, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So he can see, you just can't see him. And if you wouldn't drink in his presence and, hey, I could just see you with your bottle of favorite wine when you're sitting down at a meal. Hey, Jesus, take a drink of this. Well, if you wouldn't do it in his physical presence, then don't you do it in his spiritual presence. You're not wise. You can't walk circumspectly. You may walk all over the place when you have a little bit to drink. I've watched them do that. We were over there street preaching out in front of the Alamo one time, and this old guy was weaving up and down the sidewalk. He covered from the curb to the grass. And he walked up to us and said, you guys preaching out here, you're offending me. I'm going to call the cops. I said, man, I wish you would. Go find you a cop, and you tell him how we've offended you. I said, he gets one whiff of your breath and takes a look at your public intoxication, he'll cuff you and throw you in jail. Go tell him. You'll save us the trip. He was circumspect. He walked all over the place. That's not what he meant in verse 15. He meant circumspectly, you taking a very wise, hard look, not like a fool, at what you're doing. All right, now watch you something else. Proverbs chapter 23. Who hath woe? This is verse 29. Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Now, wait a minute. I think if I remember correctly, going back over there to Genesis chapter 3, the Lord told Adam and Eve, he says, don't eat that fruit. Or he told Adam, he said, don't eat the fruit. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, Adam was pretty concerned about Eve. He said, don't you even touch it. Of course, God never said that, but Adam did. Don't even touch it. Well, look at what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 31. He tells you not to even look at it, much less drink it. He said, look not thou upon the wine when it is red. Don't even look. For the same reason that Adam told Eve, don't touch, because he felt like, he said, if you touch it, you're going to eat it, which he did. He said, don't look at it when it's red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Why? You'll want to drink it. And what happens? Verse 32, at the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. That's why they serve a lot of whiskey down at the bars where the men and the women meet. And in thine heart shall utter perverse things. All they cuss and they carry on and they invite each other to go to bed with each other, and they're meeting up with strangers. Verse 34, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Person has too much to drink, they'll lie down on the bed, they'll say the room is spinning, or feel like the bed is going from side to side, like a ship. Verse 35, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beat me, and I felt it not. People used to wake up from drunk, and they say, did you get the license plate of that truck? I was, what truck? The one that ran over me last night. When shall I awake? He asks at the last. I will seek it yet again. They say the best remedy for a hangover is to go get another drink. And so this guy won't. He has the old saying, I'll be hungover, but not tonight, or not today. So if you want woe, if you want sorrow, if you want contentions, that is, you're going to get in an argument with somebody, you want babbling, and you're running off at the mouth and not making any sense. If you want wounds without a cause, bump into the table, bump into the wall, fall down and hurt your bottom or your head, redness of eyes, bloodshot eyes, you want all that stuff, then go get you a couple of drinks and just stay with it a little while. Okay? That's what he's saying. Now compare that with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 that we just read. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You can't do that and have a few drinks. You can't do it. It's impossible. I remember we were preaching out in front of a bar out there in Mobile one night after the Alabama and Auburn game. That's a big rivalry, kind of like A&M and Texas. And this old cowboy had a barrel chest and a big old belt buckle and his Levi jeans and boots and a big old straw hat on. And we're preaching across the street from this bar, and that voice is carrying right in there. And as he hears what we're having to say, he gets very offended. And the reason is, one of the fellows has said something bad about the Pope. And he didn't think that was appropriate for the guy to say. I think he said no hope in the Pope, which really isn't anything bad about the Pope. It just says the truth of the matter is, if you're looking for salvation in a man, you can't find that in an earthly man, not even in the vicar of Christ. If you're going to find salvation in the man, you have to find salvation in the man Jesus Christ, not in the Pope, not in a priest, not in a pastor. And so it was not a really rude comment. It was a very appropriate comment to say no hope in the Pope. But, you know, he, being under the circumstances, the guy really was offended by it. I mean, he came across the street with that old barrel chest stuck out, and the guy's preaching, and in street preaching, the thing you need to do is you need to, at all costs, protect the preacher. I mean, you allow him to keep on preaching. And so there was a fellow from Hawaii that had been a missionary over there that was on the street with us. He and I had to kind of block this guy off. Well, I'll tell you something. I'm not that big, and I didn't really care to get into a problem with this guy. It looked like he was mad enough to start throwing some punches, and that was the last thing in the world we wanted to see done. So we moved in front of the preacher, and he came with his big barrel chest, and he threw it right up into our chest, and his nose, and eyes to eyes, and mouth to mouth, just kind of like that when the baseball coach is going to argue with the ump, right? I mean, just right there, nose to nose. And he says, I don't like that guy. I said, what's the matter with him? He said, he had something bad to say about the Pope. Well, we kind of screened him and eased him off over to the side where we could talk with him. And I said, well, hang on a second. I said, I was raised Catholic. What he said didn't offend me. He's not trying to tear down your religion so much as he's trying to encourage you that if you're going to get saved, you got to come to Jesus Christ. He said, well, I've been to Corpus Christi, and he wasn't talking about Texas. he was talking about some sort of a retreat called Corpus Christi for the body of Christ that he had gone to. And he said, I've been to Corpus Christi and blah, blah, blah about his religion. And I said, well, hang on just a second. I said, why would you allow this guy to offend you? All he's interested in is your soul. He's interested in your soul. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He's trying to tell you to receive Jesus Christ. I said, listen to him right now. And of course, he said something along those lines. The guy said, well, that's not that bad. You know what he did? He reached in his wallet, took out $5 and stuck it in my pocket. And I took the money out of my pocket and I put it back in his pocket with a tract. He said, whoa, wait a minute. So I said, no, I'm not trying to offend you, but I said, here's the problem. Tomorrow morning when you sleep this thing off that you've got, you're going to wake up and you're going to regret that you gave us some money. We're not out here for money. That's not our purpose. We're out here for souls. And I want you to take the money back. He said, yeah, but you put a tract in my pocket. I don't want that tract. I said, no, really and truly you do. When you wake up in the morning, you're going to want to remember what it was we were talking about. Because all you're going to remember is this thing that upset you, and there's been some good stuff here, and I want you to be able to see that too. I want you to read what the gospel has to say. So he let the thing stay in his pocket, and he shook our hands, and he was real nice. You know, a lot of times with drunks, they get friendly with you after they get through the contention, you know, and, oh, you guys keep up the good work and all that. Yeah. And he gets about halfway across the street, and lo and behold, this poor fellow that was preaching had to say something else that offended the guy, and he turned right around on his heel like a pivot, and here he comes again. And I'm thinking, this time he is going to take us out. He's had enough. He's gotten calmed down, but he's mad again. And I here comes this other guy right behind him, about 6.5 foot tall, and I'm thinking, now we got two of them on us. We're all going to die. And instead of letting that guy hit us and start hitting himself, the big old 6.5 foot fella grabbed the other barrel-chested fella and lifted him right up off the pavement there with his old feet spinning under him like he'd just gotten off of a bicycle, turned the guy around and started running back toward the bar, telling him, leave those guys alone. They're not trying to do anything to hurt you. And then he turned back around, the big guy did, and this is what he said. He said, you know what this fella's problem is? I said, no, what is it? He said, this fella's problem is he knows he needs what you're offering. He just don't want it. I said, buddy, you are right. And that's right. He knew he needed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that he needed Jesus Christ, but he didn't want it. You know what he wanted? He wanted the booze, because they don't work together. Somebody that wants to take the booze doesn't necessarily want to take the Lord. Now, I know there are people who think they can work all that stuff out together. I'm just trying to tell you something here. It's not possible to walk circumspectly and be wise when you're in the cups. They use that up there with politicians in order for them to buddy-buddy each other, make some bad decisions. Bad decisions. I'll show you where that comes from. Look in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, and look at verse 4. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. He didn't say it is not for kings to drink a lot of wine or several glasses of wine. He said it is not for kings to drink wine at all or strong drink. Why? What's the reason? Because of this. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. And that's true. The reason cocktails are served in business meetings and in business settings and all that is to butter the guy up, to loosen him up, so you can get in there and make the sale. Instead, he says in verse 6, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So he's telling you that it's not right for a king to drink. Well, now you say, well, what does that have to do with us? We're Christians. Well, have you ever read Revelation chapter 5? Do you know what God has intended for you in the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. You're a king to be. You're a king to be. And it's not right for kings to be drinking any wine. Right now, you're just a prince waiting on your crown. And notice he said, we're going to be kings and priests. Have you ever read Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9, what the Lord told the priests about drinking wine? He said, no, I've never seen it. Well, you ought to go read it. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9 says, do not drink wine, nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It should be a statute forever throughout your generations. So the Lord told Aaron in verse 8, don't drink wine and don't drink strong drink when you go into the tabernacle. Well, you say, I got you there, preacher. We don't have a tabernacle today. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So you're going to be a king, and it's not for kings to drink wine. You're going to be a priest, and the priest is not to take strong drink in the tabernacle of the congregation. And now your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of God. And he says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. And you say to me, I don't see any place where the Bible says I'm not supposed to drink. There it is right there. You say, well, I wish you could make it just a little bit more. I wish you could just make it a little bit more like a commandment in the New Testament. Okay, okay. I give. We'll just accommodate you then, okay? Turn to Romans chapter 14, look at verse 21. If you can't take it by Solomon's wisdom, if you can't take it by comparison to the things he told you to do in verses 15, 16, and 17 of Ephesians 5, if you can't take it from Solomon's own experience about having too much to drink, and you can't take it by comparisons of the kings and the priests, then look at Romans chapter 14 at verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine. He didn't say more than one glass of wine. He just said it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. You say, well, I don't think that my Christian brothers ought to be offended. Then why don't you take your bottle of long neck beer into the church service with you on Sunday morning and drink that in front of them during the fellowship time while everybody else is having their coffee? Why don't you take your long neck Lone Star in there or whatever you drink and drink that? If nobody's offended about it, say, oh, they wouldn't like that at all. Of course they wouldn't. Well, if it's not right to do in the church, it's not right to do, out of the church. Isn't that right? Say, let me tell you something. If it's right for a Christian to do that, why don't you bring your preacher and his wife over to your house and invite them over for a cocktail party? Now, I understand if your pastor is one of those that wears a collar and a robe and says the mass and that kind of stuff, and he's used to drinking wine during the church service, he'll be glad to come over. I remember when I was going to go into the seminary to become a priest, we invited the priests over from the seminary to talk with us, and there were two of them that came. I thought that was awfully potent, big for just one little old freshman going into a high school seminary. It turns out one of them was a designated driver. Seriously, they offered the spokesman something to drink. He drank martinis. It's good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. See, he wouldn't like that very much if you saw him doing that at church. You see what I'm saying? That's a stumbling block. So why do you do it when you're not around the church, but you don't think you can do it while you're in the church? It's because of a hypocrisy that's built into that thing. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, we're told as Christians, I know you don't really like what you're hearing here, but let me tell you something. This is good for you. When you go to the doctor, he says you take this medicine, you don't like that, and you don't take it all. You take a couple of pills and leave the rest up there in the counter. Now, this is a prescription to help you get into a better walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know you don't like what you're hearing, but it's going to do you some good. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Well, what does that mean? That means getting more out of each day by sanctifying those days to the Lord Jesus Christ and making up for some lost time before you got saved. And the days are evil. You know, if you're wide awake, you're sober, you're vigilant, that's what he told you to do. Be sober, be vigilant. It's hard to do if you've got a cocktail in you. But be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. It's hard to be sober when you got a belt under your belt, so to speak. Now, just come over here to 1 Kings chapter 20 and notice how this messed up a guy. A lot of examples in the Old Testament, but to show you this. And then I got to get on and show you a couple of other things, and then we'll be wrapping it up. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 15. There's going to be a battle on. He numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and they were 232. And after them he numbered all the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. Now, there's going to be a fight on. This is the prophet that came to Ahab, king of Israel, and they're going to fight against the Syrians. So he's got 7,232 people to fight for him, but he's fighting a bigger army. Verse 16, what's his adversary doing? What are the Syrians doing? 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 16, they went out at noon, but Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings, the 30 and 2 kings that helped him. Whoa, at noon. They're having a big old beer bust or whatever that is over there, but they're getting drunk at noon. Well, of course, you know that the war went very poorly for them. You say, how in the world would God expect me to give up this drinking? I don't get drunk. I don't drink in front of other people to be a stumbling block to them. I mind my own business. I don't go to the bars where I look at other people's wives and have bad thoughts and say bad things. I just have a little drink from time to time in my house. And I do that because Paul told Timothy, drink no longer water, but drink a little wine, for there are oft infirmities. And my question to you is, one, is your name Timothy? And number two, are you sick? And if the answer to both of those questions is no, then what are you doing drinking it? Say, well, I like it. That's the problem. That's the flesh demanding that from you. That's not the Spirit of God demanding you to do that. If we had the time, I'd go through and show you that at the Lord's Supper, you know that last supper that the Lord Jesus Christ had? That was not fermented liquor. If you read every single chapter dealing with that in the New Testament, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read about it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you're going to find out that in fact that was the fruit of the vine. It was squeezed into the cup. Just like in Genesis chapter 40, the butler squeezed the grapes into Pharaoh's cup. Just like the new wine is found in the cluster in Isaiah chapter 63. It wasn't fermented liquor. You can't find any justification just because the priest drinks a little fermented liquor during the Mass. There is no justification for a person who calls himself a Christian at all. There's no justification for drinking wine or beer or strong drink, period.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.